Our gospel lesson today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, found in your pew Bibles on page 3 and page 3 in the large print. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. Hear the word of the Lord. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so for now, for it is proper for us to fulfill it, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The voice of the Lord. Powerful and full of majesty. Thanks be to God. In the beginning of his ministry, Jesus came to the water at the River Jordan. He was baptized. The heavens were opened, and God declared, "I am well pleased." When Matthew retells the story of the baptism of our Savior, he clearly has creation in mind. In the beginning, God created order out of the watery depths and declared it was good. Who can deny that the incarnation begins a new era of creation in the world? We could call it a new kind of creating, a different direction built on understanding God's compassion towards humanity. The old understanding relied on the fear of God's anger, and the new understanding comes with the gift of being claimed as God's own beloved and responding to this gift. So Jesus comes to the river to be baptized, but not quite like we are baptized, and not like the other baptisms that John was doing. The baptism of Jesus needs an asterisk beside it. You know, one of those little stars, like we find next to athletes' names when they break a record, but that achievement is somehow clouded. An Olympic record was set in this race, but there was suspicion of performance-enhancing drugs, so mark it with an asterisk. Or Roger Maris hit 61 home runs in a season to break Babe Ruth's record by one, but Roger Maris played 8 more games in his season, so stamp it with an asterisk. Jesus is baptized, but not like you or I, or anyone else, really, so stamp it with an asterisk. John's cry in the wilderness is, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near." But Jesus doesn't have anything to repent of. In John's baptism, he calls for the outward sign of immersion in water and the inward intention and discipline of turning toward God. The outward sign and the inward commitment. Now today we baptize with water as a sign and in the name of the Holy Spirit. We rely on God for the grace to cover up our sins and our missteps. When we baptize children, the intention is carried by the parents and the faith community to bring the child up according to God's word. And when we choose as adults to be baptized, we claim for ourselves that we want our lives to reflect the love of God in all that we do. We claim and affirm the gift of our identity as God's beloved. Christianity is a calling. It's a way of life. It is not membership or status. It is a gift, not a possession. We know baptism is a gift from the very beginning, because John is selective with who he baptizes. He refuses, and even calls out, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They have failed to bear fruit worthy of repentance, and they are trying to claim baptism as a status, separate from the essential components of internal intention and God's outward grace. All three synoptic gospels tell of Jesus' baptism, but unlike the others, Matthew describes John's reluctance to perform the task. John baptizes with water and for repentance, and he proclaims there is one to come, one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. But when Jesus approaches, John does more than hesitate. He tries to refuse. Our text says John would have prevented him. Other translations use stronger language, saying John hindered him, or even John forbid it. So we have these lovely images, even on the cover of our bulletin, of John and Jesus in the calm waters with a shore full of onlookers, and everyone has serene, blissful expressions. But in this telling, we see that the one who is meant to prepare the way for the Lord, the one who knows who Jesus is, trying to avoid what Jesus is asking him to do. John, the wild one. John, who wears itchy camel hair and eats whatever bugs he can grab between fiery sermons and naming the sins of religious and political bigwigs. This guy knows, and still he stumbles. Because Jesus doesn't need to repent. His life is from God. Why would he need to dedicate himself to God? And John has taught the others that Jesus will be the one to baptize with the Holy Spirit. John knows he doesn't baptize with the Holy Spirit. How can he empower Jesus if he doesn't have the right tools? Surely, Jesus meant that he was going to baptize John, right? So have you ever thought that God was asking you to do something that you are only partially equipped for? Have you ever wondered why God picked you to do something and not someone better suited for the work? Because right here in Matthew's gospel, we see this very human behavior. We can find courage because the one who knew his purpose from before he was born also found himself full of doubt. Crazy and zealous, John the Baptist resists what God would have him do. Jesus' first follower is asking questions, at least in his mind. And we are just as human as John. Questions are part of the journey. So Jesus' first words spoken in ministry, according to Matthew, are here. Let it be so for now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Again, where our Pew Bible says proper, other translations like the King James says permit it to be so now, or even suffer it to be so now. Like suffer the little children to come unto me. Rise above your insecurity, John. Endure your doubt, and let's do this. The incarnate Lord submits himself to be received by the law of repentance, even though there is nothing to repent. He requires the consent of the one who was sent to prepare the way for him. It may seem strange or even backwards, but this is what the kingdom of God is like. It is like nothing we have ever seen before. Hierarchy crumbles before partnership. Jesus is John's Lord, and John is his messenger. And yet Jesus seeks John's blessing. This is how Jesus declares that his purposes are in line with God's publicly. This is where he begins his ministry. Suffer it now. We think of suffering in big terms, that to really follow God's plan, we have to surrender it all, abandon any semblance of creature comfort, and go to a far-off place on the other side of the globe, and that is noble work. But God needs people to follow on all sorts of paths. Sometimes, like John the Baptist, it means doing what you are already doing. Because God is in the extraordinary and in the ordinary. God needs us to serve in both ordinary and extraordinary circumstances. So if God and John had a morning meeting, like a manager to an employee, God might have said, "Keep up the good work, baptizing and proclaiming. Oh, and by the way, my son will be coming by today." And there's Jesus again saying, "John, even though this might sound strange, trust me, let's do this." In all three synoptic gospels, when Jesus comes and rises up out of the water, the heavens open. Mark even says the heavens are rent asunder. This new era that God is initiating with the incarnation of the Son is a big, big deal. Last week, we identified the shifting of the stars upon Jesus' birth. And now, as we reflect on Jesus as an adult, the gap between heaven and earth is breached. No longer is God distant or far off on a mountaintop. Our old understanding of God, of the metaphorical distance between heaven and earth, it has now been reimagined. Heaven is no longer withheld from us, but accessible and possible because the Son that came to live with us, to die for us, and rose into everlasting life. The justice, peace, and equality of heaven spill out across the earth. In the beginning, God created, and now, with the incarnation, God is recreating. God is now with us. So, like John, we may be afraid of what we are about to initiate. And yet, as challenging and new as it is, Does any of us want to be the obstacle to God's coming kingdom? The opening of the heavens is our signal. God loves us so much that it is no longer okay for only some of us to understand this love. It is not okay with God to exclude anyone from the good news of God's love and forgiveness. So God comes down among us to shatter the old order, to keep the good that has been established, and to create a new future built on relationship. We are not here to do things on our own. God has given us the gifts to lead compassionate and just lives. God provides us with grace so we can dare to forge ahead even when we encounter doubt and resistance, whether that resistance is our own or someone else's. We are to follow the one who walks with us through all of life's suffering. The barrier that we once used to hold God at arm's length has been eradicated because God is with us. We may not understand completely, but we are expected to trust that the one we follow claims us as beloved children and will not let us go astray. When God declares, "This is my son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased," the crowd hears the proclamation. This is an affirmation that we can all embrace in our lives. We are siblings of Christ. We share one baptism. We are all beloved of God. In baptism, we have answered the call to partner with God. It is a call to be God's people and to recognize in others that they are watermarked, spirit-born, and beloved. So when Jesus comes up out of the water, the world is changed. And even though Jesus has not risen into his own forgiveness, he rises into the reality of forgiveness of our sins. He is the embodiment and the revelation of a new reality. And the voice of God declares affiliation and relationship between God and Jesus and between God and humanity. So every time we come to the baptismal font, may we be reminded that this is more than water. It is a sign that we are connected to each other and to God, who calls each and every one of us beloved. To the Lord who speaks to us, strengthens us, and blesses us with peace, be all glory and honor forever. Amen.